Lord, we thank you for that holy night, and just imagining the invitation to hear the shepherds, what they heard from the angels one more time. We never grow tired of hearing the good news of great joy, which will be to all people. And the good news would bring glory to you and peace to us. So, Lord, I pray that we would truly, whether we physically fall on our knees or we turn our hearts your direction, that we will be in an attitude of worship, of course, tonight, but throughout the Christmas season and into the new year as we identify you as not only our Savior, but our Lord. And we just pray that if there's anyone here who has not yet fallen before you in worship and giving their life to you, we pray that tonight would be the night they would do that. So help us as we look at the Christmas story again, fresh and anew, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can be seated, and thank you for singing. Thank you, worship team. And it's just such a privilege to be able to share the Christmas story with you. We try to do that as a family, as I'm sure most of you do as well, but you're... And by the way, I've got a couple rows of family here tonight. I'm pretty proud of them. In fact, I think it's been like 20 years since all five of our siblings have been at Christmas together. Now, there have been other occasions in the summer and, unfortunately, you know, funerals and other things. But Christmas is the first time in over 20 years. So, but your extended family, to celebrate Christmas with you is very special, and we join literally millions, yay, a couple billion, around the globe that are celebrating and worshiping Jesus this Christmas season. It's Christmas time, and as John Bollinger read earlier from Galatians, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. So when the time was right, God sent his Son to redeem us. That was his purpose. So it's kind of everyone's custom, I think, to read from Luke 2, either on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And according to Linus, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And so I got one with that. That's very good. All right, thank you. So I'm going to read the Christmas story, and you can imagine your Linus, who just dropped his blanket and found out that Jesus was going to be born. Okay, here it goes. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to register, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He was to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time had come for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn. Now, there's more to the story that we'll look to, but that's the story we're all familiar with. We read every year, and we want to keep fresh before our kids, before our grandkids, before one another. Leading up this Advent season, we've been looking at old Christmas carols and scriptures behind them. Most of the carols we've looked at so far have been like 500 years old. I mean, I'm not kidding. This is a more modern Christmas carol. It was written in 1865. Again, that was a joke. But it's Christmas Eve, I get it. All right. So, what child is this? I mean, it's only just a couple hundred years old. Not even that. It was written by a man named William Dix, the son of a surgeon in Bristol, England. He spent most of his life as a businessman in Glasgow, Scotland. He managed an insurance company. He was greatly enticed by traditional English folk songs, so he started writing lyrics for What Child Is This? And he used the melody of Green Sleeves for the background. What Child Is This? One commentator, David Mathis, he writes, when I was a child, I was not impressed with a Christmas song that asked a question that everybody already knew the answer. Like, if I were to say to the children, what child is this? They would go, Jesus, Pastor Mike. Right, it's Jesus. What child is this? Well, David Mathis goes on to say, what I didn't understand is that questions aren't just for solving problems and requesting new information. Sometimes questions make a point. We call those rhetorical questions. Other times, the form of a question expresses awe and wonder about something we know is true, but almost find it too good to be true. It's too good to simply say it directly, so we ask it in form of a question. How in the world? What child is this? So this evening, let's ask that rhetorical question. We know the answer, or do we? This Christmas, we're going to see three things. We're going to be invited first to ponder. I want to continue with the Christmas story and see the visit of the shepherds to the manger in Luke 2, verse 15. And the angels, of course, made an announcement that Jesus was born. Verse 15 says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that was been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. So the shepherds get the story, the news. They see baby Jesus. They start telling everybody about baby Jesus, and according telling Mary and Joseph what the shepherds had said. And I love that Mary just treasured that up in her heart and pondered them. Good news of great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And Mary's just treasuring that announcement. Mary, we're told in the Christmas carol that we're looking at, the song asks, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap, sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping, Mary holding this baby, and hearing the news, the good news of great joy, that this baby is going to be the Savior of the world. What a quiet, precious moment for Mary in holding baby Jesus, God in the flesh, in her lap. Larry White writes that Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The scripture says Mary treasured up. The word that Luke used is a word that meant to preserve. It refers to gathering things and putting them away for safe keeping. Mary was making memories. She was collecting a sort of mental scrapbook. And when I heard that, my siblings know that our mom made scrapbook after scrapbook after scrapbook after scrapbook. And I've had the privilege to go through most of them. I mean, mine would stack from here to the ceiling. Memories. But she pondered in them in her heart. She was preserving them in her heart. She was making a mental, spiritual scrapbook that she would not forget. Well, this Christmas, I wonder if we couldn't be invited to preserve the message, not for one night, but for the entire year, really for the rest of our lives. Just ponder, treasure. Now, he goes on to say that the word ponder also means to throw thoughts together, draw conclusions, consider and confer mentally, or to wonder at a deep level. So to treasure is to make like a mental scrapbook. To ponder is to think deeply about what this means. Not to just skip through it, but to go, my goodness, baby Jesus is God in the flesh. What does that mean? What does that mean for me? And what does that mean for you? To treasure it, to ponder it. And she wasn't done, by the way. In Luke 2:51, much later, the Bible says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. She was building up that scrapbook in her heart as she watched Jesus grow. So what should we ponder this Christmas? What if we pondered the providence of God? God orchestrated everything that happened in the birth story, and he's been orchestrating the events of your life, my life as well. What has happened this past year that only you can explain the providence and the hand of God? I got a few, but I want you to think about yours. Pondering the providence of God. Second, how about pondering the presence of God? The angel said his name will be Emmanuel because he is God with us. And I wonder, have you taken time to think about, no matter what's happened this year, that God is, Jesus is Emmanuel, he is with you. Can you imagine going through this past year or any day without God with you? But he is with you. And Jesus reminds us that he is with us. Ponder the presence of God. And lastly, how about just pondering the peace of God? Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trusts in you. So the true peace of God is only available when you have peace with God. This Christmas, we ponder Jesus. Second, this Christmas, we enthrone Jesus. I'm going to go to Luke 2:10. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So the shepherds hear this awesome message. In fact, they're scared initially. The angel says, fear not, don't be afraid. Why? Because there's good news of great joy for everyone. Jesus the Messiah is born in the town of Bethlehem, the city of David. He is the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. He is a baby born Lord of Lords. Of course, the angels are calling the shepherds to recognize the newborn baby and enthrone him. Go see for yourself. See for yourself. And then enthrone him in your heart. The second verse of what child is this goes like this. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Of course, there's a reference to the wise men who, yes, come months after Christmas night. But the whole point is, the invitation is for peasant and king, all of us to come. He is the King of Kings bringing salvation. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Make him king of their heart. The song invites all to come to make Jesus Lord of their life and says, peasant king, come to own him. I had to think about that for a minute. We don't use that verbiage anymore. But I think even most of us know what it means to really own something, right? You got a own the guy you're playing in racquetball. You got to own him. I wish one of my buddies was here. So you know what it's like to own. I got one. So you got to know what it means to own somebody. Well, to own Jesus is to personally recognize him for who he is, to make him your own. The invitation is clear. Let loving hearts own him, enthrone him, invite him into your life. Now, an additional verse that we rarely sing is a rich reminder of the purpose of Jesus. Why lie he in such mean estate where oxen and donkeys are feeding? Good Christians fear for sinners here. The silent word is pleading. Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. The son of Mary, the babe, would grow up. That nails and a spear would pierce him. He was born for you and for me, for our sins to be forgiven. And how in the world, what child is this that he would be king of kings, but yet he would lay where oxen and donkeys are feeding? Goodness. A spear will pierce him? Well, praise the Lord, the babe of Mary took on flesh that he would take up the cross for me and you and take on our sin. How can you not own Jesus? How can you not take him into your life and enthrone him when you understand who he is and what he did for you? David Paul Tripp says, the incarnation of Jesus is a gracious rebuke to all who put their hope in human righteousness, wisdom, and strength. The birth of Jesus destroys the logic of human independence. It crushes the belief that our lives belong to us to live as we choose. No. When we understand who he is, why he came, we give our life to him, and we live as he chooses. So Edwin Lutzer writes a prayer. I'm going to read it out loud. We're not closing a prayer yet. Don't get excited. Father, we thank you today that Jesus was born. Thank you that beyond the stable, beyond the story of Mary and Joseph that we love, thank you that beyond all that, Jesus is God. Who is Jesus? Who is this baby? Alpha and Omega, root and the offspring of David, King, star. And we receive him today as such. And may those who are struggling in their spirit, who tried to put off the work of the Spirit, convict them and lead them until they bow and receive him as their Savior and their substitute. So, at Christmas, we ponder Jesus, we enthrone Jesus, and lastly, just simply praise Jesus. Listen to how the shepherds respond to meeting Jesus in Luke 2:20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So the shepherds checked out the message, actually went to see Jesus. They checked out this good news of great joy by personally visiting Jesus. They leave glorifying and praising God, and this should be our response. That's why we sing songs. It's praise. Now, the third verse of our song goes like this. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. What child is this? He's Christ the King, the one who drew shepherds to glorify God and caused angels to sing in heaven. Everyone, haste, haste to bring him laud. Okay, what's a laud? That's actually not a word we use much. Laud simply means praise. We're to hurry to praise our Lord and the birth of our Savior. Now, Romans 15, 9 through 11, in the King James says this, and the Gentiles, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it's written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thee thy name. And again he says, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. So the word laud is actually in the King James. And we're told that we're to laud King Jesus or to praise him. So what child is this? Let's reflect. Let's treasure. Let's ponder. Let's remember and hide it in our hearts and own him. Well, he's God with us. To Joseph in Matthew, the angel said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Who is this baby? What is this child? God with us. God who took on flesh. Who is this child? What child is this? He was a child born to die for our sins. Matthew 1:21, she will bear a son and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sin. So, what child is this? Well, I want us to think about why Jesus was born. And we've lit each of these candles for about 4 weeks in anticipation of his birth. But I want to do something a little different in thinking about his death, because he came to die. So, what child is this? Well, according to Isaiah, he would grow up and be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. What child is this? Well, according to Isaiah, he would grow up and he would bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. What child is this? According to Isaiah, this child would grow up, and he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him, the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds, we are healed. What child is this? Well, according to Isaiah, he would grow up and he would be oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that's before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. What child is this? According to Isaiah, it was the will of the Lord to crush him, to put him to grief. When his soul would make an offering for guilt, he sees his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he was crushed for our sin. Now, I confess that we've been doing this for a few years now, and I don't like doing that. I don't like blowing out those candles. But the truth of the matter is, my sin blew out those candles. Your sin blew out those candles. The Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that he died to save us from our sin. So, it's not Easter. Since we've talked about his death, I want to also remind you that he rose again. And we're going to take just a moment to darken the church. I mean, the church is going to go completely dark. So I want to ask you, as our volunteer staff are going to turn out the lights, that you get your candles, okay? So let's go. My candle's right here. Thank you. Let me wait for them to come back. Okay, we're going dark. Okay, it only lasts a minute. So, Jesus was born. He died. But that's not the end of the story. On the third day, he rose again. I love what Thomas said after Thomas saw the risen Lord. And we can ask this question again, what child is this? He rose from the dead, and Thomas declared, "My Lord and my God," and followed him. Jesus at one point said, "You are the light of the world. Don't hide your light under a bushel, but share it." So now, we share the light of Christmas, the light of Jesus, with one another. If I don't trip down the stairs. And I'm not kidding. Okay. All right. Merry Christmas. Pass it on. Go ahead. Pass it on. Merry Christmas. Pass it on. Hey, Lincoln, do you have a candle? Oh. Okay. Sorry, Lincoln gets preference. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Rick. Pass it on. Keep sharing. Share behind you. Merry Christmas, Justin. Pass it on. Merry Christmas, Nate. Merry Christmas, buddy. Pass it on. Merry Christmas, Jason. Pass it behind you, too. Hey, Gary. What just happened?
Is that a bad omen?
No, here you go. No, it's not. Everybody got their candle lit? Okay. So, isn't it amazing? From the light of Christ, this is symbolic, of course, he shares with us and we share with others. And so it lights up a dark room and potentially could light up a dark world as we first experience Jesus, we ponder him, we treasure him, we enthrone him in our hearts, we praise him, And then we just share the light of Jesus with others. So, why don't we stand? Molly's going to lead us in Silent Night as we move towards closing.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender.
Amen. Thank you. And let's build a scrapbook in our hearts. And maybe this is one of those pieces of our scrapbook. Just worshiping together. Include the whole pondering and treasuring with your family at home. And if you haven't yet done it, this Christmas season, enthrone Jesus to the heart and to your heart. And then let's just live a life that gives him praise and laud. Father, thank you for our time together. And I know that this might be the only moment in our Christmas season where it feels like there's a silent night. We may rush home and open presents. We may wait till the morning. It gets a little crazy and hectic. We got meals to serve, family to be with, and those are all such good things. But we took some time tonight to ponder and treasure who Jesus is and just ask the rhetorical question, what child is this? And may we keep asking that question, going to Scripture, finding out more about Jesus and who he is and why he came. So bless each family here as they celebrate Christmas. Thank you for bringing us out tonight. And may we truly ponder and enthrone and praise Jesus this Christmas season. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas.